Do you recognize the song playing in the background? Plays every hour on the hour as part of our flagship station ID. If you do recognize this song, chances are less than 1 in 12 that you have donated to CITR. That means 11 out of 12 of our regular listeners are getting our content for free. So naturally, we called local businesses to see if we could get that kind of a deal. Here's how things went when we called Duffin's Donuts.
Hello, Duffin's Donuts.
Hi, I was wondering if I can get 12 pupusas, but just pay for one of them.
Like, do we owe you?
Owe you cinnamon
roll? No, you don't owe me. I was just seeing if, like, that was a deal I could make.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe in 20 years?
In 20 years?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Okay. I was hoping for it now, though, but...
No, 20 years later.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll try in 20 years.
You can show your support right now on your mobile device or computer by heading to citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone during our annual fundraising week, February 28th to March 7th. Donate to keep CITR weird. CITR's funding drive is the week of February 28th to March 7th. Our goal is to raise $40,000 in donations. This year is really special. We are celebrating 80 years of independent, unadulterated, nonprofit radio. And we couldn't have made it this far without the support of you, our listeners. So thank you. Unlike commercial radio, we depend on you to keep growing. We spend 1 week a year asking our listeners for donations. Just one. February 28th to March 7th, donate to keep CITR weird and pleasant on the ears. You can donate online at citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone by calling 604-UBC-UNO.
Hello, you are listening to a fun drive show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, territory of the Musqueam people, unceded land. My name is Hala. I'm the business manager here.
And I am Danielle. I'm the VP here.
And you're listening to the last couple hours of Fun Drive. We've had a very exciting week full of lots of generous donations from folks. And we're just past $20,000.
Yes, we are.
Which is insane.
That's awesome.
Our community came together and donated $20,000 to us so we can keep being weird and freaks on the airwaves, which is pretty cool. We rely on small donations from our community. The vast majority of our donations are $30, and we have donations that are $1 and donations that are $1,000. So we really rely on these small donations to help keep us going.
Yeah, so literally anything that you can contribute, it's not like, oh, this won't make a difference. It will make a difference.
It 100% will. So if that sounds like you, if you're listening right now and you're like, this sounds fresh, you can go to citr.ca/donate, or you can whip out your phone and hit 604-822-8648, and some lovely volunteers would be more than happy to take your phone call. We've got some folks hanging out outside ready for that. So Danielle and I are just going to play some music that we picked out. I've got a couple bits of archival audio from my baby radio days picked out for you. And then we'll just be chatting about Fun Drive and the effects that previous Fun Drives have had on our lives as station members.
Yeah. All right. Should we start with the song?
Yeah. So I picked one called Watermelon Sugar, which is off of an album called Comfort, made by an artist based out of Victoria called Hansmoll. It's Hansmoll's older album, but this is one of my favorite songs. I just love how ethereal and kind of spooky it sounds. So this is Watermelon Sugar by Hansmoll.
Lord, wash away my sins, have mercy on my ears.
Hello, you are listening to CITR Radio 101.9, broadcasting live to your airwaves and also on CITR.ca. We're in the middle of Fun Drive, and I just played two of my top songs for you. You heard Watermelon Sugar by Hansmole off of their album Comfort, and then you heard everyone's pop favorite, Devours, with a new track called Beyond Love and Beneath You. Every time I walk into CITR, I hear Devours' song. That's not even an exaggeration.
No, absolutely accurate.
Yeah, Devours is like everyone's pop icon here.
And he's a show tonight, does he not?
Devours does have a show tonight. Yeah. It's his album release at Static Jupiter tonight.
Nice.
So that's sick. You should go to that for sure.
Yeah.
That's going to be really fun. And Jeff, the person behind Devours, is also just like the sweetest man ever.
Is he? I've never actually spoken to him.
Oh, just so lovely. Just so, like, such a treat to talk to Jeff.
Oh, nice.
So those are my two songs for right now. We were thinking we would chat a little bit about how we got involved at CITR, just to get us going. So why don't you tell your origin story? Daniel is one of our, like, longest-running volunteers that isn't a show host.
Yeah, I suppose. I've been here, like, just as long as you have.
No, you started when you were 15.
I suppose that's true, but I didn't start... When I started at 15, I wasn't exactly doing a whole lot of stuff. I started off as an intern for, like, Job Shadow Week is what we called it in high school. We had to find a career we were interested in and then, shadow a professional in the field for a week. And I was trying to find something that I was interested in, and I found one, but it fell through at the last minute, and so I had this panicked, what do I do for a week? And so I knew someone from CITR, and they're like, you can probably just go here and sort CDs. So I did, but I did a whole lot more than sorting CDs. And I remember the very first thing I ever had to do was call people on the phone whose emails had bounced from our membership list. And at 15, I was utterly terrified of telephones. So that was my introduction to CITR and doing things I was utterly terrified of, like going live on air and things like that. I stayed for a week. I got to go on Dunkin' Donuts as my first foray into being live on air. And then I loved it so much and I was a very eager 15-year-old. That summer, when I was 16, I came back, spent far too much time here. I was here about 12 to 5 or 6 every day for the summer. I was very, very keen to be around here. And honestly, it was because of the community and the environment here. I had never been anywhere quite like CITR, and it blew my little 16-year-old mind, and I was so excited to be in such an artsy and weird and accepting place that I came back literally every day and shocked the staff with how often I was here. So once I, you know, finally got to university and wasn't a high school student, I knew I had to join.
I'm assuming you did not get a tan that summer?
No. It was in the old building, too, with the brick hallways and the old dusty floors, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that fully checks out. We can provide lots of things, training, events, workshops. We cannot provide a tan. It's kind of the nature of a radio studio. So tell me your favorite memory of CITR.
Oh, wow. That's a tall order. I think one, I don't know if this is my favorite, but one that really stands out to me was my very first Victory Square. It was that summer that I was 16. And so I grew up a very sheltered, tiny little bubble childhood, and I knew nothing about anything. And so when I showed up, it had been one of the first times I'd ever been downtown in Vancouver, because I didn't grow up here. And when I did come here, I was young enough, and I lived out in the suburbs, so we never really came downtown. So I didn't know where Victory Square was. I didn't even know Victory Square as a location existed. And so I showed up, and it was overwhelming in the sense that everyone seemed like a grown-up, and I was terrified of everyone, and they wanted me to stand at the merch table and talk to people, and I was so scared to do it. But I had a lot of fun, and I saw a lot of cool bands, and I was there late at night. I was there like 11 p.m., which was exciting for me as a child. And I freaked out because I saw people smoking marijuana. And at 16, that was utterly terrifying, and I was worried the police were going to get involved because I didn't understand that. But, you know.
That's wild. You, like, were scared of getting narked on for, like, people smoking weed in a public park in Vancouver.
Absolutely. And I was just standing there watching them do it, and I was terrified for them.
Yeah, that's very valid. That's, like, such a 16-year-old mindset. You just, like, I feel like I thought that the police were coming to get me, like, a straight, small, white woman at all times, which is, like,
just like so absurd and such a like privileged mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really wild. What do you think is like your favorite thing that's happened in the last year?
Ooh, in the last year? I am really excited by a lot of the projects that the execs have come up with. So this year we started a new thing where we have each exec pick a project that they're passionate about and then they want to
What's the exec?
Oh, I'm sorry. The student exec are the elected students to help run the station and plan events and plan policy and plan the vision and the future and where the station is going and what it does. Is that a good explanation?
That was perfect.
Awesome. So each exec member is elected or appointed to a position like programming or volunteer or music or things like that. And so they get to pick a project that they're passionate about and that they want to see happen at CITR, different areas that they think are underrepresented or different ways that we could be serving our community better. And they've come up with some amazing ideas. Madeline planned, our volunteer exec planned this awesome, what was the first one called? Do you remember? Get Your Own Show. And the next second one was Discord or Day Camp, which had like day camp snacks like orange slices and fishy crackers, and it was adorable. But they were kind of crash course days where you could come in, learn everything about the station, get your trainings, and get started on whatever you want to do, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's cool to see like when our execs like identify gaps in the services we're providing and are able to fill those gaps. So one of the gaps we identified was that folks who have jobs outside of the station or in school for longer blocks of time said that it takes a long time to do our trainings when you have to come back three times to finish them all. So wouldn't it be great if you could do a tour and do all your trainings in one day? And lo and behold came the Get Your Own Show day camp model where you can do it all in one block of time. So your money helps us to do initiatives like that one. That's how we're able to provide our training and services for a very low cost or free for our community. And we can't do it without your financial support. So please, if you are able to give even small amounts, we're eternally grateful. You can head over to citr.ca/donate. Or you can phone, and our lovely volunteers would happily take your cash at 604-822-8648. Thanks for sharing those stories with us, Danielle.
Thanks for asking.
I have a little piece that I'd like to play. I did some digging on the bus on the way here this morning and scrolled way back in the CITR archive. If you didn't know, everything we do is podcasted. And horrifyingly for me, the very first time I was ever on the radio was podcasted. In the summer of 2016, believe it or not, I helped host a show and then later hosted it alone called Student Special Hour. And this was a show cooked up by the student executive a couple years back, and it was focused on student events and student issues. So we would talk about the election and sort of stuff happening on campus and interview clubs. And when I was on it, it was during the summer. So obviously there's not a lot of club activity happening during that time and not a ton of campus events to discuss. So we kind of came up with like a little collective of people that had the show. It was myself, Lucy Clarkson, a longtime volunteer here, and another volunteer, Stephania. And we like had our little show that was so like cool for us to run. And I remember the very first time I was on the air by myself, I was co-hosting Student Special Hour with Lucy, and was so terrified of using the boards, was so terrified of Sam, the audio system we use. And Lucy got up in the middle of a song and was like, I'm really hungry. I'm just going to go get a bagel. And I was like, no.
That sounds just like Lucy.
Isn't it? Like, I was, like, fear-stricken. She was like, there's no way to learn until I, like, throw you into the fire.
That's one way to teach, sure.
Yes, as a future teacher, I'm sure you don't love that attitude. But she literally, it took her forever to get this bagel. I swear they were, like, growing the wheat to make the bagel while she was up there. And nothing bad happened. Like, there were big gaps in between songs, and I, you know, I'm sure you could hear the fumbling of me trying to cue up a song, but you know, the station didn't burn down, and now I feel super comfortable running the boards, and that's all thanks to CITR.
Wow,
a very
CITR
special
is
place,
amazing.
A truly special place. So let's listen to like maybe a minute of this.
You don't want to play the whole thing?
I don't. It's an hour long. That's really unnecessary. So we'll listen to a minute, and then we'll just go right into a song. I picked another song for us. It's called "Troubled Over You" by a guy called Iceberg Ferg.
I don't know what happened to Iceberg Fur. He was kind of big in the campus and community world there for a minute, and then kind of I'm not sure if he's still releasing music or what Iceberg's deal is, but we're going to listen to a song called Trouble Over You by Iceberg Ferg right after a very brief snippet of an episode of Student Special Hour from May 18th, 2016. So I feel like I should be speaking more.
Ownership over the space that we got here. Yeah, it's exciting though. All right, so to introduce ourselves, we're going to talk a little bit about what we do here at the station, as well as how we got involved and our current favorite podcast. Who wants to start off?
I will go first. My name is Hala. I have been on the student executive starting in January, and I'll be continuing next year. For the past 5 months or so, I was social media coordinator. So I was the one running all the Facebook, running all the Twitter, doing Instagram posts. So if you saw any of that content, that was all me. Now, coming up next year, I'll be events coordinator, so I'll be the one running those events instead of necessarily promoting them. My favorite podcast as of late is always my number one favorite, This American Life. Can't get enough of it. I recently re-listened to my absolute favorite episode called, it's about the dangers of acetaminophen. Would highly recommend it.
There you go. In case you didn't know before.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's an extremely dangerous drug. Spinning round, I found, I feel alive.
You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory in the town colloquially known as Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm Halla Bertrand.
I'm Danielle Androlitis.
You just heard 4 a.m. by a Mama Rude Gal, and before that, you heard a song by Iceberg Ferg called Troubled Over You. Hope you enjoyed that smooth transition. Right before that, I also played a little snippet of the very first time I was ever graced CITR's airwaves.
How lucky were we?
I know, truly blessed that I joined. It's funny, that's still my favorite episode of This American Life, the one about acetaminophen.
I mean, clearly, you know yourself.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think, like, that's, like, been a long-term favorite. It's very comforting to me. Okay. I listen to This American Life every night when I fall asleep, and I can't fall asleep without it.
Oh, wow.
I know, which has become, like, a bad obsession, but this is an absurd thing, but I've heard that one episode of This American Life probably, like, 100 to 200 times.
Can you recite it by heart now?
A lot of the This American Life episodes, if you tell me the title, I can tell you all three stories in it, which is, yeah, problematic. Even if you show me, like, the photo on, like, the episode photo, I can tell you, like, what episode it is.
Do you have, like, dates down to and, like, how long each podcast is?
Well, each podcast is an hour, but I can...
But to the second. They can't all
I don't know them to the second. I'm not that neurotic, but... Yeah, This American Life has been a big part of my life for a long time, and I've kind of transitioned that love into some of the content that CITR produces. Every single thing that we do is podcasted here, and you can check out back episodes of the really, really great reporting and audio storytelling that we do here. We have a whole bunch of different collectives, for example, ranging on a bunch of different issues, and groups such as the Indigenous Collective, Accessibility Collective, Gender Empowerment Collective, and sports, arts, and news.
And
music, thank you. And those are groups of folks that make radio content all together in a way that's fun and accessible and really leads to community engagement on a specific topic. We often find that collectives are a really great way for folks to get involved in making radio because it seems daunting to do a show by yourself.
For sure.
But making radio in a collective is really cool because one week you can do the boards, one week you can pick the music, and it's a little bit more chill for a first-time programmer.
And doing anything with a group is far less terrifying than doing it alone.
Definitely. So, yeah, should we listen to another piece I made?
Sure, it sounds awesome.
Cool.
Is this still Baby Halla, or is this...
No, I made this last term. Okay. So... Baby as in I was younger than I currently am, but I made a show for a podcasting class I took with Duncan McHugh, the host of Dunkin' Donuts, an excellent show here on CITR. And in addition to being a show host here, Duncan is also an instructor in the Department of Land and Food Systems and does a course called Audio Storytelling. So I took Duncan's course last term, or two terms ago, and... was in this class with a whole bunch of really cool people that were interested, had this intersection of wanting to know about audio storytelling and how to build a narrative, but most of them were land and food systems majors.
It seems very interesting that it's in the faculty of land and food systems.
Yeah, I think Duncan also works there in the media department,
okay.
Like sort of doing like digital stuff.
Right.
And he was like, I know a lot about podcasting and I'd love to teach it. So I think that's kind of how it came about.
Awesome.
So the podcasts that were created out of the show, or out of this class rather, are super broad and super unique. And you can listen to them all. If you Google LFS 400 audio storytelling, they're all available online and licensed under Creative Commons. So last year in my class, there was a podcast about food waste, about food getting in your cavities, the ethics of being an omnivore.
I love how these are all LFS kind of themed.
Like, well, they had to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The buzz on urban beekeeping is one of my favorites.
We used to have a show about that. How perfect is that connection?
All about bees?
Yeah.
Really?
There was a show about bees and honey. I can't remember what it was called now, but it was... adorable.
Okay, well, that's super cute. That would have been a perfect segment for that show. Stuff about the fast fashion industry, et cetera, et cetera. So it's cool to kind of see that students are out there at UBC using the resources available provided by CITR and are making some content that way. So that's really cool. So the piece that I made is called Tax Breaks, the Story of Temporary Community Gardens of Vancouver. And it's an investigation into why you see so many empty community gardens where gas stations used to be. Ooh. So you may note that over the last little while, a ton of Chevron and other gas stations have closed down. And then almost immediately, these very temporary-looking community gardens pop up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is no, there isn't like an active community built around them, which is the whole point of a community garden, is right. that a neighborhood comes together and wants to have some green space. So these, like, they're just sort of put in rows in an empty gravel lot. And in the whole time I was investigating this story, and even since, I haven't actually really seen anything growing in any of these community gardens.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Which is pretty wild that that's happening. So let's take a listen to my story, and you can find out why on earth there's so many empty community gardens in Vancouver. So take a listen.
All of this stuff is just left over from last year. So some of it's come back. Some of it was planted later in the year. These down here, these are kales, a couple of different kinds of kale. They will grow all year. They made it through the cold snap that we had here, which is great. So they'll just keep growing.
This is Howard, who runs a plot in a permanent community garden at Oak and 16th in Vancouver. This neighborhood is right on the cusp of redevelopment.
They were trying to seriously rezone it a couple of years ago, and they wanted to put in a small high-rise, and they couldn't do it. And it would have changed the relationship to the value of this property. So if that zoning had gone through, that would have affected how this area could have been rezoned. So my sense is the owner of the property, I don't know who they are, is waiting for the zoning to change, or for the possibility that the zoning will change. And then they'll come back in and kick us out and build whatever they need to build and make their pile of dough, right?
Yeah.
It's a really tricky little area. The alley between 15th and 14th is the zoning, the boundary.
So what's the difference in zoning? Like, the city just wants that space to be more, like, dense?
It's about density. Yeah, right. Residential density. So they're not willing to do it here. And, of course, they're not willing to do it here because this is Shaughnessy.
That's a really interesting spatial relationship that your garden exists in.
Yeah, it's a funny, like, twilight zone.
Recently in Vancouver, a lot of temporary community gardens have popped up in spots where gas stations used to be. These gardens are created by property development companies, such as West Group. While there are many well-integrated community gardens around the city, these temporary spots are different. They lack support from nearby residents and are underutilized. So why do companies create them? The benefits fall into three main categories: environmental factors, corporate citizenship, and tax incentives.
My name's Alan Garr, and I'm a columnist with the Vancouver Courier.
Getting someone to speak about property taxation turned out to be a major obstacle. I was turned down, passed along to someone else, or ignored by City of Vancouver media representatives, city councillors, BC Assessment, West Group, and gardening companies. What's the big deal? I eventually got a hold of someone who would talk to me. Alan and I talked at his home in Kitsilano about an article he wrote for the Vancouver Courier. He explains that with a new community garden comes major tax breaks.
The first time I noticed that developers were getting a tax break was when they developed the property at, when they converted to a community garden at Burrard and Davie. And I figured out then that the level of subsidy that they were given by being able to reclassify the property was the equivalent of subsidizing each tomato that was grown by $3.50. So they were getting a good break. I guess the community was getting a bit of a garden.
According to Alan, properties are changing tax classes from business or other to recreational. This shift can cut taxes by two-thirds of the previous rate.
And what's interesting is if you watch these guys operate, the BC Assessment Authority comes around to assess the use of the property so they can determine the category it fits into at the end of October. So you'll notice all of these conversions happening kind of September, October, if you've noticed what's going on around here and throughout the rest of the city. So this is not kind of happenstance. This is a clear strategy that developers have figured out on how to deduct taxes for a number of years and still be able to hold on to their properties.
Okay, so property developers are holding onto properties and getting a major tax break to do it. But why not redevelop the space immediately? It has to do with what's happening underground.
My name is Patrick Johnstone. I'm a city councillor in the city of New Westminster, and I'm an environmental geoscientist who works in contaminated sites. Right, we talk about gas stations a lot. Gas stations have gone through this process. There's a lot fewer gas stations than there used to be, and a lot of properties that used to have gas stations on them have gone through this process and are being redeveloped. So the owners of the property recognize there is contamination in the ground. They cannot sell that property because it has this liability attached to it. And they actually, the way the laws are written, they can't sell that liability. So if they sell that land to somebody, someone else is going to take that land and do things with it. But the liability always belongs to the person who caused the contamination. And often that is more than one party. Often it's the operator of the gas station and it's the oil company that sold them the gasoline, and it could be other parties. So this mechanism sort of creates a pause in development. Gas stations are commonly ones that the pause can be lengthy because generally those properties belong to large oil companies. Large oil companies have a lot of money and they can afford to sit on an asset for a little while. If it was a mom and pop piece of property, mom and pop don't have a bunch of money and they want to get value out of that property. So they're motivated through the process to get it cleaned up and to resell it and to get whatever money they can out of the property.
But of course, there's the optics of creating a temporary garden. Corporations are concerned with the public relations aspect of community gardens. But eventually, they will take those resources away.
I think there's a good PR incentive for the property owner, especially if it's a larger company that can say this is an amenity we're giving to the community or lending to the community. The one concern I think they would have is once you create a public space, it's very difficult to take that public space away again. If people become accustomed to this place being a community garden or a public park or a gathering space, then it's going to be very difficult 10 years down the road to tell the public, well, actually, you were just borrowing it, and now we're going to put a condo on this site. So I think that the property owners are aware of that concern. And I think there's a potential that the goodwill they get in the short term for help letting people use this space may be eroded by the eventual bad will they'll get when they have to take that space away because they can't let that multi-million dollar asset just disappear.
So for Howard, managing a plot in a community garden isn't really about community at all. It's about space.
I mean, there's ideologies around what a community is. I'm not that crazy about the ideas that are organized in this space.
Do you think that other people find community here?
Certainly the thieves that walk in here have a sense that there is community here, and it's so accessible that that's a negative aspect of community. For me, this is a space to come and rest and relax and restore myself, and the food is an incredible bonus.
So, temporary community gardens aren't as idyllic as they may appear. Short-term projects can have long-term consequences, and it's important to acknowledge that corporations aren't building them solely for community goodwill. And often communities aren't as invested as corporations want them to be. At the end of the day, communities can't be invented by companies, as hard as they try.
Oh, makes me wanna, oh. Yeah, it makes me wanna, oh. You know it makes me wanna. You know it makes me wanna.
Vancouver International Women in Film Festival is back for its 14th celebration of cinema created by women from around the world. Running from March 5th to 10th at Viv Van City Theaters, the festival offers a variety of programming for filmmakers and the community alike. Go for the film screenings and stay for the parties, panels, discussions, workshops, artist talks, and more. Tickets are on sale now. Visit womeninfilm.ca for full details. Do you recognize the song playing in the background? Plays every hour on the hour as part of our flagship station ID. If you do recognize this song, chances are less than 1 in 12 that you have donated to CITR. That means 11 out of 12 of our regular listeners are getting our content for free. So naturally, we called local businesses to see if we could get that kind of a deal. Here's how things went when we called Antisocial Skateboard Shop.
Hello, Antisocial.
Hey, what's up, bruh?
Chillin'. Who's this?
You don't know me.
You sound like Cassie, but I don't think that's who this is.
I'm not Cassie. Is she hot?
What's up?
What's up? Okay, I'm calling with a kind of a far-out question.
Okay.
So, I've been down on my luck lately, sleeping in my homie's kitchen on an air mattress, like, actually, like, I'm not even kidding. And he just had this crazy party, and this chongo stole all of our decks.
Wow.
I know, whack. I was wondering if you could do me a solid and throw me, like, 12 decks for, like, the price of one.
Are you crazy? I mean, that's insane. No, I can't do that.
No. Would you do me, like, any solids, though? Like,
I mean, we can't really, the boards aren't marked up very much, so we can't do, they're kind of just like a set price. We can't really do much on them. If you get a whole setup, we give you 10% off, but that's probably not what you're looking for.
You can show your support right now on your mobile device or computer by heading to citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone during our annual fundraising week, February 28th to March 7th. Donate to keep CITR weird.
All right, all you squares.
You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9, broadcasting live from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm Halla.
And I'm Danielle.
So we just heard a lot of content. You heard a special little piece I made about community gardens last year in Duncan. McHugh's host of Dunkin' Donuts LFS 400 podcasting course. I'm very proud of that piece. I was a little embarrassed to play today because I kind of remember it in a worse light than it actually is. So I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you learned a little bit about community gardens.
I definitely did. I've seen those like weird gravel empty cart, like wooden community gardens, and I had no idea, but now I do.
Yeah, I used to live in Oak Ridge, and there was a really big one at 41st and Oak. And I would walk past it almost every day and just be, like, horrified that there was this massive empty gravel lot. 41st and Oak was a weird intersection because there used to be two gas stations kitty corner from one another.
Oh, weird.
And one survived and one became a garden.
Okay.
So the whole concept in and of itself is, like, really mischievous because it takes something that people like and think is good,
yeah,
and then make it into something for corporate gain, which is just like so evil when corporations take something pure
surprising.
And good. Yeah, totally. But they take something pure and good and then they're just like, well, it's something bad and evil now, like for our own gain, right? Just so mean.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to CITR. If you like the kind of content we're putting out into the ether, you can go to citr.ca/donate and spend a couple of coins on us. You just heard a PSA made by Pascal, our PSA coordinator. And Pascal made this really cool series of PSAs where she phones up local businesses and asks us if they'll give us a 12-for-1 discount, because that's approximately what's happening. Is we don't get a lot of donations, and we only ask for donations once a year. So that means that folks are getting content for free the rest of the year, which is really cool that we're able to provide our services for free. But it also means that we sometimes need money to keep making that happen.
Yep.
So go to citr.ca/donate, type in those 16 digits, 4-digit expiration date, and that 3-digit CVC, or you can go to 604-822-8648, and our lovely volunteers would be more than happy to take down a donation from you. Danielle, how has the donation changed your CITR experience?
One specific donation?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if one specific donation I can pick out among all of the other ones. I think... Well, this is going to sound kind of sad, but my mom, I think coming here at such a young age and it coming to, like, what my parents thought was weird, like a weird radio place, and they were surprised that radio was relevant and that I wanted to do anything in it. And the fact that they were like, yeah, sure, I'll accept this. You can do your weird radio thing. And the fact that they would put money towards it was really meaningful to me.
Yeah, I find that really validating, too, that people I know will donate to something that they aren't necessarily participating in, but they just care about the community that it fosters and what we're able to give to others.
Yeah.
And then people will donate to that, which is pretty cool. So even if you're not a longtime listener and even if you don't know any of us, just know that your money is going towards good things. It's helping us pay our staff. It's helping us put on events like Victory Square Block Party. It's helping us buy equipment so that we can keep making great recordings and keep making Discorder Magazine, a local mag we've been publishing since the mid-80s. So that's what your money is going towards. We're not spending it frivolously. We're spending it on real hard things that have immense value to our community and to us as a station.
Yeah.
So citr.ca/donate. Please go there. We're just at $20,576 now. We're still trying to hit 40K. So I have faith that by tonight we will hit 40K. Someone's going to swoop in with a big check for us. So help us reach 40K. Small donations make a huge difference. So if you're hearing this voice, this is the call you've been waiting for. CITR.ca/donate.
This is the universe telling you.
This is a sign.
Howlett Bertrand is the universe.
I am the universe. This is a sign. So should we listen to some songs?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so we've got a couple more songs. We have up next, we're going to listen to a song called Slow Shines by Living Hour. And after that, we'll hear Best Thing by Haley Blaze. And then let's just do a third one. We're going to listen to I'm Blue by Kimmortal, a classic song. So Slow Shines up first, in the middle, a song called Best Thing, and then after that, I'm Blue by Kimmortal. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you. Once upon a time, I made myself number one. Now I'm roasting under blazing sun, riding shotgun. You at the wheel, my free will at your direction. Memorize your signs, but forgot my own reflection. All my eggs in my basket, I gave them all to you. Still hungry after fables, but I ran out of spoons. Give her more than I can give, overextending my wings. Good at playing your games, but this is not a win-win. I've been sickening your dirty dishes, even when my place full. I marry myself, I remain faithful. One day I'll leave the table, cause you stop serving love. Crave the taste of solitude, I know it is enough. I'm blue, the color of my solitude. How many times I knew my yes was a no? I'm your clown out of habit, there is dust on my throne. For you, I drop my shit just to hear you say hero. Fly you to your dreams, distract me from my own. Maybe, baby, someday I will learn to be alone. I fly myself up to the moon and build a gate around my zone. I bust a myth that I am selfish when I take care of myself. Repeat it till I hear it, reverse the trauma in my cells. Blue, ooh, the color of my solitude. Love me over you. love me over you, over you. You are not a burden, baby. You are on purpose, baby. You are not a burden, baby. You are on purpose. Yeah, you are on purpose.
And welcome back. We're doing a fun drive show. I'm Danielle. And that's Hala over there.
Hi.
We wanted to do a shout out to two people who donated.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much, John Woodward, who donated to the News Collective. We see you. Thank you so much. Thank you also very much to Dory Thrasher, who donated to Dunkin' Donuts. We see you and thank you. We so appreciate that people are listening or maybe not listening and just thinking of us and donating money. So thank you so much to all the folks that actually went to CITR.ca /donate and donate a little bit of cash to us. We've got some great swag this year.
Oh, absolutely.
I personally ordered all the swag, and I'm very proud of myself. So for $30 of a donation, you get an exclusive CITR and Discorder patch designed by the one and only Ricky. For $60, you get a patch and a tote bag, also designed by the one and only Ricky.
What would we do without Ricky?
Like nothing. I would do nothing all day if it weren't for Ricky. For 101.9, you can get a patch, tote, and some CITR cozy socks. They're really nice. I think that's probably our best prize is the socks.
Like, who doesn't love socks?
Right? Like, who doesn't love a graphic sock?
Yes.
They've got a nice little diamond on them, a ruby.
Yeah, of course.
This year, we're celebrating our 80th.
Ish.
Ish. Anniversary. 81-ish anniversary of CITR being in existence as a part of the AMS, the Alma Mater Society of UBC. So we're celebrating our Ruby Jubilee. We've been doing radio in some capacity for 81 years. 81 straight years of wacky content on the airwaves.
You're a senior citizen.
We are an octogenarian.
Whoa.
Thank you.
That's a big word to
Thank
drop.
You. For $175, you can get a patch, tote bag, socks, and a limited edition fishbowl tape. So over the course of the last year, we've had a whole bunch of live bands come through CITR, and we've done live performances of them and broadcasted them live on our airwaves. And then we recorded them all and slapped them onto a cassette for you. So you can get access to that little puppy for $175. $250, you get all of the stuff I just mentioned and a framed Discorder cover of your choice.
Which is awesome. We've had some really amazing covers over the years.
Truly, yeah. We did a showcase of a whole bunch of our covers earlier this year at an art exhibition we did at the Hatch Gallery at UBC called Hail Discordia. And that was really, really amazing.
It was really great.
I think that's my favorite event of the year. And not just because I invented it.
Yeah, it had the little write-ups that were written about each cover, kind of detailing like a story or how it came to be, what the significance was at the time, was really interesting. And especially to me, who had no idea that this cover in 87 meant this whatever, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. For $500, you can get all of the above, and you get to host a show on CITR.
This could be you.
This could be you making this A-plus content alongside us. You have to follow some of our CRTC regulations, of course, but that's part of the gig. That's part of being on CITR.
Such as being on radio.
Then for the sweet, sweet price of $1,000, you can have all of those things. You'll get recognized on our donor wall at the station, and you'll get a Pop Alliance compilation box set. So every year,
That's pretty awesome.
Of years, we make a Pop Alliance record of featuring cool artists from the city, and we do that in conjunction with Mint Rex. So you'll get all of those records. There's five, six?
I can't remember.
Somewhere between five and six Pop Alliances.
Enough that it's awesome.
Enough, yeah, precisely. So You can also do monthly recurring donations. We totally love that too. That's a little bit easier on your CC. So head on over to citr.ca/donate and make my day. Yeah.
I mean, earlier you asked if I had a favorite donation. I had the adorable story about my mom. Not so adorable, but you know. Do you have a story to follow up? Do you have a story that can beat mine?
Mine's less cute. I begged my brother to donate. My brother's 2 years younger than me and a real goof, but a real lovable goof. And I begged him so much and he said no. He's off skiing in Kelowna right now. He's 21 and living the life skiing in Kelowna. So he said no so many times and I just would not stop texting him. And I think eventually just so I would stop texting him, he donated a crisp $5 to the student executive. So thank you, Stefan. I see you and appreciate you.
Every little bit helps.
That's totally true. Like these little donations do 100% make a difference. Like they are seen and visible, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping we could play another piece that I made.
Yes.
This is a piece that I made for 24 Hours of Radio Art in January. And I recorded the sound of Instagram stories playing on my phone. So I plugged my phone into Audacity, the audio editing software I use, and put it on full volume, and Audacity just recorded the sound of Instagram stories flipping through themselves. And so anytime it had audio associated with it on a video, it would record that. And I just cut out all the times. It was just a static photo on stories. So take a listen through. I think it's really interesting. You'll hear a little celebrity, a political celebrity pop in. AOC is on this, which is cool.
Exciting.
Yeah. So take a listen. This is the piece I made for 24 Hours of Student, 24 Hours of Radio Art earlier in January. And it's called Instant Disintegration. I almost said Instant Disassembly, but that's a Parquet Courts album. Instant Disintegration by me, Halla.
I need to know if anyone's watching The Masked Singer. I just turned on by accident, and it's wild. I don't know who these people are, what's happening. Also, who greenlit this show? I have so many questions.
High five. Okay, good girl. Now low five.
One step closer, we have a reception desk. Thank you, Ronald Joyce. Yay! And thank you, Myers, for bringing it.
We're marching over to Mitch McConnell's office and show him what's up, isn't that right?
That's right.
Hey guys, we went to Mitch McConnell's office where we went to the Senate cloakroom. Where's Mitch? You can run, but you can't hide.
I really love it, and is what Manila gives me.
Manila lessons pineapple culture. You know, if you don't have it with you, you must need to have it because it's amazing.
Located from the back. Are you videoing my voice?
You are late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready?
No, I've been ready.
Yeah, I didn't do mine like this.
I'm impressed you can do it all. That's a good college try.
Parkour.
Oh, perfect.
Wait, is this a video?
Yeah.
So you just heard Hala's 24 Hours of Radio art piece from earlier this year called Instant Disintegration. So over the years, you've made quite a bit. We've heard quite a bit of the radio content you've made here. And you've been here for, you're probably one of the longest serving members of this community who is not a programmer.
Yes, I've been here since 2015.
Wow.
I know. That's a really long time.
Saying the year doesn't sound like it, but that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, like I've been here since my second year of university. I'm just about to graduate now. So
yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, I was a little fresh baby then. Now I'm...
As we heard in that earlier clip.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I've been here for a really long time, and CITR has held a very special place in my heart for a very long time. It's really taught me a lot about my own self and taught me
a lot about what kind of person I want to be and how I interact with people in the world, and really helped shape my values and ideologies as a person that's moving through space. And that's been super important to me. I first got involved totally by happenstance. I, like many people, did a tour in my first year and then kind of fell into the pit. Yes. Of, there's a pit in between doing a tour and actually making content.
And there's a second pit.
Lots of volunteers fall into that pit. So I fell into that pit and then kind of, I came to a couple listening parties back at the old station.
Okay.
And kind of was like around, but like not doing anything and felt very on the outside. And then Eric Coates, the yes. volunteer or the president from 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Four years ago.
Was like, there's a vacancy on the student executive, this body that governs the station. We'd love for you to come in and do that role. And I said, yes, like I'll do anything to be at CITR and be involved in a more formalized way. So that was really amazing. And I just like never left since. Like I was hired right after my term as the sponsorship coordinator for a summer, and then it got extended into a full year. And then I was the events executive. And then, oh boy, what was I after that?
Weren't you president after that? On the exec?
Right. So then I was hired as admin.
Yes.
The admin coordinator. So I'm the one that's going to mail you all your prizes. So give me a big hug next time you see me and donate some cash so I have a prize to mail you. And then you're right. I was elected president of the student executive. And now I'm still the administration coordinator, and I am the business manager on the student executive. So I do exciting stuff like financial management, which I love.
Which is actually pretty interesting.
I think it's pretty interesting. So yeah, I've been involved for a long time, and it's funny because I know I've played a lot of radio that I've made today, but I actually have not made that much radio.
I think you've contributed in so many ways that I feel like a lot of the radio you can take credit for in some way.
Yeah, like I've done 24 hours of student power,
yeah.
An initiative we do every year where we do 24 hours straight of student-focused content, so interviews with clubs or radio art pieces that students make. And that's, I think, one of my favorite initiatives here. It's just so important to get the student voice on air, seeing as we are a campus and community radio station.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Seeing the way different students are involved and have a presence on campus that I wouldn't have known about without reaching out to these clubs and getting them to, like, talk on air and see what they're doing.
Definitely. Yeah, so that's my story. If you're inspired at all by my trajectory here,
donate.
Yeah, you can go to citr.ca/donate. Thank you so much, John, for donating. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone else who has donated as well. Your contributions are seen and appreciated, and we're going to do great things for our community with your donation. So go to citr.ca/donate or dial 604-822-8648. And we can give you some cool prizes.
Yeah.
For $30, you get a sweet patch with a giant ruby on it.
Who doesn't want that?
Like, I want that so badly. I'm hoping John will give me his prizes. You've been tuned in to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. We're going to close off the show and play a couple PSAs.
Before we do, we should mention the finale happening tomorrow.
We should mention the finale. Thank you. We are closing off the finale. Closing off Fun Drive with a finale tomorrow, yes. At Redgate. Really cool bands are playing, which is sweet. It'll be happening in the evening. There's a giant silent auction.
Yeah, with some really awesome prizes.
Yeah, with prizes donated from lots of cool businesses. We've got records and gift cards and other sweet stuff like that. So if you're around, if you're in Vancouver proper tomorrow, you should come drop by the Redgate and help us make milestones.
That's adorable. Perfect ending.
Thank you. That's our slogan for Fun Drive. You've been tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Hala.
I'm Danielle.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
That free magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that? Smokey every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Do you recognize the song playing in the background? Plays every hour on the hour as part of our flagship station ID. If you do recognize this song, chances are less than 1 in 12 that you have donated to CITR. That means 11 out of 12 of our regular listeners are getting our content for free. So naturally, we called local businesses to see if we could get that kind of a deal. Here's how things went when we called Budgie's Burritos.
Budgie's Burritos.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering if you have any kind of deal on right now where I could get like a dozen burritos for the price of one.
No.
Okay. Do you have any promotions on right now?
No, we don't do promotions.
Oh. Okay.
Cool. Bye.
You can show your support right now on your mobile device or computer by heading to citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone during our annual fundraising week, February 28th to March 7th. Donate to keep CITR weird.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.